Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
198 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. By the title, you know we have Super Bowl champ Tristan Wirfs on the show today. One of the best tackles in the league already his rookie season. We're going to talk about that, his new house, KF, Super Bowl championship, a whole lot more. You know Tristan is a legend. This episode speaks for itself. Get ready to enjoy this one. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode 198, which is set to be one of the most legendary episodes that we've ever recorded, because we're back with one of my boys, a brother from another mother, a dude who comes from the same type of soul, cut from the same type of cloth as your boy, just cut from the cloth of the chosen one, as I like to call him. Let's go with the hometown hero. Let's go with the real rookie of the year. And last but not least, when you refer to him, don't forget world champ. Tristan Wirfs, welcome back to the podcast, baby.
What up, what up, what up?
Dude, what is going on, Tristan? What is your life, dude?
I mean, nothing much right now. I'm just packing up.
He said nothing much. Nothing much. You're in Tampa still right now?
Yeah.
Yep, and you're gonna come back to Iowa, or where are you going?
Yeah, I'm coming back to Iowa City. I'm going to start training on Monday.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
So I've heard rumors, and this is from...
You're going to live with Shooter again?
No, I got my own place.
You should. Gosh, damn it. You should live with Shooter just for good times.
I mean, I'm going to Benton Street. You got to visit.
Yeah. Legendary. I mean, it doesn't get any better. But back to... So I have some deep Mount Vernon sources.
Okay.
And I've heard rumors that they're changing the name of the town in honor of you. And if that's true, when is that happening? When's the ceremony? And am I invited?
I don't know if they're going to change the name of the town. I did hear about like a parade.
You're for sure getting the key to the city, dude. Even though there's no gates and the key doesn't open anything, you're for sure getting it.
At least, like, I got to get the key to, like, the stoplight, the one stoplight in our town. You know, do something fun.
Oh, my God. You're a Super Bowl champion, man.
It's crazy, isn't it?
How big of a whirlwind has the last 365 days been?
I mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Even back to, I checked just for reference. We had you on the podcast, two-time guest now, one of few. We've only had a few two-time guests. There's maybe a handful. So Tristan, that's a huge honor. And honestly, probably should feel better about that than the Super Bowl championship.
Right.
Two-time guest.
What was the, It was like right before the draft last time I was on, wasn't it?
No, we had you on in January. So it was right at the end of January, January 27th, episode 84 of the Walk-Ons, if you want to go back and listen to that. And it's kind of funny to listen to. I listened to some of it. I actually called out that you were going to be a Pro Bowler, and someone fucked me on that. I'll be real honest. Someone screwed me over there.
And I want to know what odds we could have got on you for Rookie of the Year. It's honestly a shame that I didn't bet it, because that's bad on my part. But, I mean, absolute fucking robbery, and I'm putting that out there on this podcast for everybody.
Seriously.
The Rookie of the Year had a great year. He slung it around, threw a couple touchdowns, whatever. I mean, if you go look at this fucking guy's stats now, go look at Tristan's stats. Come on now. It's Rookie of the Year.
I mean, it was –
Here he goes. Here, I can see it in Tristan's eyes. He's about to go, huh, it was a good year. What?
That's just how it goes. You know, being an offensive lineman, you know, quarterbacks and wide receivers, everything, like they get all the stuff, and that's all right. It was a fun year. I liked it.
You got the trophy. You got the ring.
Exactly. I would rather have that than Rookie of the Year.
100%, dude. 100%.
So Anthony was on, and he said that winning the Super Bowl, like he said that he thought winning a couple games at Iowa were absolutely incredible. And he's like, man, how can it get much better than this? He's like, the NFC Championship was 50 times better, and the Super Bowl was 100 times better than any win he's ever had. So where does that rank on your scale?
That's very accurate. I mean,
God, I'm so jealous.
Like, you know, I thought winning bowl games, like, you know, we won the Pinstripe Bowl. I was pretty, you know, that was pretty cool.
It wasn't,
you know,
lit. It wasn't that lit. Let's be honest.
The swing or that was awesome. And I was like, this is elite. And then, the NFC Championship game, that was different. Cause it got so like close, you know, at the end of the game, we were like, I don't know. We're just like battling the clock and everything. And then like after we won that, you know, just knowing you're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh my God. It was like knowing you're going to the Big Ten Championship, except for like you were actually going to heaven.
Yeah. And like, and I'm sure like it would have been way better, like celebration wise, if there were fans and everything.
Yeah.
But like, just know. Okay, so like, my mom was sitting up in like the nosebleeds, mm-hmm. and the Super Bowl too. They were like way up. The Super Bowl was awesome. I'm gonna skip to that. The NFC Championship game, unreal. That was so cool. But the Super Bowl, like, I remember when we won. Like my mom, my girlfriend, my Coy Kirkpatrick.
I saw that he was down there. Coy,
my cousin, my sister, and like. I was down on the field, and like during warm-ups, I always try and like spot where my mom and family are sitting. And like I went out to warm up and I couldn't find them. And I was like, I texted my mom. I was like, where are you guys sitting? And she told us. So like we went out there to do like our team warm-up, and I spotted them. I was like, okay, just knowing where they're at. And then after the game, you know, we're celebrating. I look up and I see him. I'm like, let's go. Just see him. Because a lot of the family had come down, but like Coy was still up there, and he had this sign and he was waving it back and forth. I was just pointing up to him. Then like my mom and girlfriend came out and just like we're running on the field. Oh, unreal.
Did you cry, bro? Did you cry? Yeah. You have to cry. There's no way.
But I hugged my mom. Like I ran, I seen him. I was like, where are they at? Because it took forever for the family to come on the field. And like I ran over there and I hugged my girlfriend and I hugged my mom. And I was just like, you know, I was just holding her and I just started bawling. I was like, son of a gun, dude.
Dude, that's all you are. You're a big baby, man. You're just one big kid, bro. Oh my God. Listening to you just makes me happy. Like listening to the story makes me happy. I can't imagine how actually living it feels.
It was crazy.
The Super Bowl. Let's be honest. I'm going to be honest here. Tom Brady does not sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're probably not a Super Bowl champion. Let's just be real here.
Oh, yeah.
So the last time we had you on, Tom, he had not made that decision yet.
Mm-hmm.
He makes that decision about a month before you get drafted. And, well, I guess take us through the draft night And because we didn't even talk about that. You get drafted. What number did you go? 13?
13.
13.
And let me tell you what,
which,
dude.
First of all, the disrespect, man.
First of all, fuck the Arizona Cardinals to the moon. I wanted to move from the state of Arizona immediately after the 8th pick in the draft, dude. Me and Tristan had plans to hang out all the time, and Arizona was going to be lit, and it was going to be the best thing ever. They pass on him, and I'm ready to burn the whole state down. I'm ready to just drop matches in all of the desert areas and just burn the state to the ground.
Yeah, and that's real. I remember you texting the Benton chat that you were just on fire.
But listen, man, everything worked out and happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And my guy goes from winning the first bowl game he ever plays in to winning the first Super Bowl he could ever play in. I mean, the guy's just on a roll. Have you lost a bowl game? Have you lost? You've never lost a game for a trophy in the postseason, dude.
I'm convinced Tristan hasn't lost anything in his life at this point.
I know.
Things are going pretty good.
And you're not losing any money to property taxes in Florida. That signing bonus goes a lot further than George's money out in San Francisco, dude.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What's the dumbest thing you've bought? Like, okay, so George was just on Bussin' with the Boys, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, George has stupid money now, right? Yeah. You have stupid money compared to with that signing bonus. Oh my God. And let's not even talk about your next contract, because sheesh. Oh, we're getting too fat for me.
Well, as long as Tom's staying in Tampa, we're just going to focus on the next Super Bowl.
Right.
And then the next one after that.
Right.
And then we'll worry about the contract.
Sure.
Well, he can have two more rings.
But George talked about how he went out and he's not one, like most people, even at least smart people, don't go out and they just don't buy stupid shit, like for no reason. But George went out and they went to Vegas, him and his boy Trent, and they had the Gucci store was in their hotel, and he just went down and smacked the Gucci flip-flops in the face and just bought them. And he said that's the dumbest purchase he's had. Like, they're just flip-flops. They're the same as like the Nike flops that we got at Iowa, but yeah. They're $800, whatever they are, $400. Have you, like, just on a whim been somewhere and you're like, yeah, fuck it, I'm buying it? Oh.
You've got a couple mean-ass trucks.
Yeah, but those are worth something. That's
they
not
are.
A dumb purchase,
they're,
right?
They're not dumb purchases. They're just expensive. They're just, I mean, two is a little excessive because you can't drive two at the same time.
This is true.
I love my trucks. Like that's like, I've always loved trucks. Like growing up, I wanted to have a truck, and I got an F-250 and an F-150. And Drake, you're probably talking about like the Dodge that I had, the black one.
I was talking about the big boy.
Oh yeah. So my 250. I love that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, trucks are my thing. I like trucks. So two of them, having two, yeah, that's you can't drive two, but I like to switch off.
Hell yeah!
But other than that, I mean,
been pretty smart. I mean, we can see the digs, right? Like
he bought a great piece of property, and that's as smart as it gets.
Bought a little house
down here. It's nice. It's like 30 minutes from the facility, but. I mean, I got a lot. I got like an acre and a half. And for down here, I mean, that's a good chunk. I don't got people like right on top of me.
A lot.
I like it out here.
Coach, we just had Coach Polasek on.
Yeah.
Absolute legend. Right?
Stallion. Me and him talk damn near every day.
Yeah. And so we asked him about you. And he said, first off, that the biggest thing about you is that you're just such a good person. Like, he didn't even want to talk about how great of a football player you are. But he told us the story of when you bought your house and you FaceTimed him. And then you guys were like, hey, let's get KF on the call. And then KF joined the call. Dude, what was that?
The fact that you were on a three-way FaceTime with KF and Polasek is beyond legendary.
It was – shoot. I think it was after, like, a big game. It was after –
I think he said it was after the NFC Championship.
I think it was after the NFC Championship game.
He said that but the story that Kluver's talking about is when you exactly when you bought your house and you were showing him around on the FaceTime.
Okay. And the one where KF got on, I think it was after the NFC Championship game.
Oh, okay. That's even better.
And what was that? I mean, he get on and say, oh, shit, all right. Oh, Tristan, huh?
Well, he couldn't, so we called it, three times, because me and Coach P were drinking, over FaceTime together.
Right, hey, I don't have anything to shotgun. I got nothing, but I'm cracking it open.
There's all a right, Oh, Jesus. So there's so for those watching the YouTube, Drake's drinking a Bud Light. Tristan's drinking a Busch Light. He's basically the poster child for Busch at this point.
Okay, so, yeah, me and Coach P were on FaceTime just talking and drinking. And then we're like, should we call KF? Because he asked me, when the last time I talked to him was. I was like, I had texted him, a couple times throughout the season. Or he had texted me, and I, would text him back, but I was like, I don't know the last time I actually talked to him.
Right.
And he's like, all right, let me get him on. And so we called him tried adding him into the FaceTime.
Yep.
And he didn't answer. And Coach P's like, I know he's awake. And so he tried and something was happening. It like somebody was trying to get on. And Coach P's like, I don't think he can figure it out. So we gave it a couple minutes and tried it again. And he got on. And it was nice getting to talk to him. I haven't talked to Coach in a long time. And it's just for me, I was nervous, whenever Coach, KF would come up to you, in the weight room or something, and talk to you, that's just how I always was. But just talking to him was awesome. He was talking about, saying congratulations, and we were talking about Nelly and, how the season was going. And he was on for probably 15 minutes. We talked to him, but yeah, that was pretty cool.
Wild. We talked to Nelly, and what is it like to, maybe it's not that cool, but what's the experience like having another guy that you played with in college almost living the same story? Just right there with you in Tampa, hundreds of miles away from Iowa City, both Iowa kids transplanted it over into, the Southeast. Is that, you ever just look at each other and go, bro, what is life?
When I first came down here, it was awesome having him, having Nelly here too. Cause that was the first time I'd been out of the 30 mile Linn County, Johnson County bubble, And, I came down and Nelly texted me, he was down here too, over the summer. And he's like, hey, we're going over to this field. If you want to come run with us and train with us and stuff. I was like, absolutely. Cause I didn't know where I was going to, because I came down, I moved down May 31st, so I get used to the heat. Because,
Did you feel lost?
Did I what?
Did you feel lost, like you got transplanted into a different universe? Because moved to Arizona by myself, I just got to my new house and I sat there and I'm like, wow, this might have been a mistake.
100%. Because I remember my mom and my uncle, we drove down from Iowa. We got an apartment. They were down here for 3 days, kind of just getting me settled in. And then when they left, I was just there by myself. And, my mom's always been at least 20 miles away. I could call her, go down there or something, and go to her house. And then I was just down there by myself. I was like, now what, but having Nelly down here was just nice. Kind of made me feel more comfortable. And there was some, there was probably a week where I was down here by myself. My girlfriend came down after that, but I would just go drive around Tampa just so I could get my bearings and everything and see where places are at. But yeah, it was definitely weird when I first moved down here.
You go up against Nelly in practice?
We did in camp and one-on-ones a couple times.
Okay.
Not too often though.
Obviously scout team, practice squad going up against. Yeah. So
let me ask you this. Hold on. How much has your football knowledge increased being Tom's right tackle?
So much. Just being in the league, it has gone up a ton. Because Coach P, that was a big thing. Me and him were talking about, coming into the NFL. He's because in college, I kind of would just go out there and you know, like I knew what to do and everything. And, but just like situation, you know, situational awareness was, you know, like,
I didn't know, you were still a kid, man. You were a young kid playing football still.
And a lot of times you could win with your athleticism. Like, let's be honest, similar to how Drake and I, and a lot of guys who we played with at Iowa in high school, like, dude, my knowledge of defensive scheme, I don't think I have any, but I played middle linebacker in high school and I was just athletic. And so I didn't dominate. I wasn't Josie Jewell, but I did well. I was one of the better guys. To some extent, you were on that level in college. Like, you could just get away with it. It's a little bit on a higher level because you're, especially on the line, because you're working with other guys. But in the league, that doesn't just work all the time, you know. Yeah.
But I, like you said, just deep, like recognizing defenses and stuff, and knowing. I think for me, like knowing what you're going to get on certain downs, like, you know, like DNs and stuff, like they'll, like on third down, the NFL, they know it's a pass. Like, they know it's a pass. Like at Iowa, we'd run the ball sometimes on third down, but like, they know it's a pass. They're going to give you their best stuff. So I think my football knowledge like grew quite a bit, you know, coming to the NFL.
I was going to go back to Tom as well. You get drafted to the Bucs 13th. I saw the video of you like on FaceTime with like Buccaneers media or whatever, like somebody on draft night. Did Tom give you a call or text or something?
He messaged me on Instagram. I didn't see it.
Wow.
He left Tom on red, bro.
Yeah.
What? So
like, we're just going, you know, because like.
I mean, you have a million messages, of course.
Yeah. Twitter blowing up, Instagram, Snapchat, you know, my text. And like, I'm trying to go through all these messages and I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see it. And it said delivered like 19 hours ago or 20 hours ago. I was like,
oh no.
I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, what do I do? Do I just like it? You know, I just
do I ask for a trade?
Can't wait to get to work or something like that. And I pretty much said the same thing back to him. I was like, thank you. You know, I'm so excited. You know, can't wait to start grinding or something. And I sent it and I was like, I'm not looking at it till, you know, but yeah, I was pretty nervous when I saw that when he messaged me.
That's wild, dude. Drake, this is where we understand that we're on a different, like in life, Tristan's on another world. KF texts him, checks in on him. He gets DMs from Tom Brady. You and I. Well,
that's here. Here's a cool question. Who's the craziest? So you've had an insane season and you didn't get any recognition at the beginning, but towards the end of the season, everybody was like, yo, listen, if they would ever give the rookie of the year to anybody that wasn't a skill position player, Tristan would be rookie of the year. Like, this guy is insane. Like, you're actually getting the media attention. Who's the coolest person you've gotten, like, reached out to you?
Oh.
Like Eminem or Jay-Z or something.
Too many to count.
No, nothing like that. Do you guys remember? I don't know if you remember the Instagram story I posted right before the NFC Championship game, like that morning when I like walked out on the balcony, like.
Yeah, and it was snowing.
It was snowing. I walked out there barefoot and like so. Like I used to watch like Kyle Long. We played for the Bears, number 75. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is.
General managers ask questions to find the right players. Like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
I was like, this is football weather, you know, like on my, and he like swiped up my story on Instagram and he's like, he said, fuck yes. And I was like, oh my God, you know, it's like growing up and everything. And that just got me like jacked up. Like I was pumped seeing that. But other than that, I mean, Tom has messaged me. how long. I messaged David Bakhtiari a little bit. That was pretty cool.
Dude, it sucks that he tore his knee up. I'm so glad he got his money before he tore his knee up.
I know. That was terrible.
Is the money – so we've mentioned the money a couple times, and it's – I mean, it gets pretty crazy. What's – in your first year, what are some things you've seen or just experiences you've had where you realize the NFL is, like, truly a business? Like, this isn't college anymore. Like, this is a money-making machine.
So it was like it just kind of threw me off. I think it'll throws everybody off. But like your first camp, like going at camp, like you're, you know, locker buddies with somebody one day, and then you come back the next day, and like all their stuff's gone. I'd heard, you know, you hear about that, but just actually experiencing it, like it was like the fourth day of camp or something. I can't remember, but yeah, the dude next to me, like all of his stuff was just gone. That kind of threw me off, right?
You were like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, that was my friend. Like, yeah. What the hell, dude?
You know, it's just
– does
it's crazy.
When you walked in – so on the podcast we did previously, I said something at the end like, hey, you're a freshman again. How does the 2 years compare when you walked into Iowa City, the learning curve of learning college football and – well, I guess it really wasn't a new city right down the road, but, you know, a bunch of new friends, a bunch of new teammates. You're trying to figure out school. Now in the league, it was, I got to figure out how to be the elite of the elite, go against the best of the best, learn a pro system, learn Tampa Bay. I mean, that's a huge part of it. What was the comparison there?
Yeah. So I think, so you remember when, like at Iowa, your freshman year, you come in the summer, it's like just you guys, like just the freshmen, mm-hmm. you know, out running, doing all that. I remember like we had like our ramp up period this year. It's like we're lifting and running and everything. And like there were vets in that, like guys that are 29, 30 years old to have kids and everything. And, you know, doing conditioning with us. And so I think that was different. But then like your first camp, like you're not just, I mean, you're thrown in, like I was thrown in kind of, you know, in freshman year of college and rookie year. But I think, you know, this year was tougher because like I was going against JPP and Shaq Barrett right away. I remember there were some days where like, you know, during the team period, like I'm taking my set, you know, in team pass and I blink and like Shaq's behind me, you know, just running by Tom. I was like, oh my goodness.
And you thought I just killed Tom Brady.
I know that's exactly what would go through my head. I was like, I would kind of imagine like, if that's a game, you know, I'm like, he's, you know, he's done.
I would say that, yeah, you know? If that's a game, our season just ended. Like, that's yeah. it.
So like, that was really frustrating. And like, I'd come home some days, like after, like I didn't have like a bad day, but it'd be like, you know, Shaq would just like smoke me, you know, for three team periods. And I'd come home and be like, I don't know if I can do this. But then I think like once you settle in and you know, realize that it's just, you know, it's just football, like, you know, do what you know how to do and don't let the nerves get the best of you. And, you know, I was all right.
Who's the toughest dude you had to block? Because you went up against the whole gambit of defensive ends in the league this year.
Yeah. So I really liked getting to go against, you know, all those guys, like, you know, I went against Cam Jordan 3 times. You know, I went against Joey Bosa. Yeah,
wait. Cam who? We renamed him Cam Wirfs, bro. It was Cam Wirfs. You're his daddy.
I mean, he's like a big defensive end. So, like, yeah. I remember I had, like, a headache after all those games because he'll, like, you know, he'll come off the edge, flying off the edge. He's like 280, two, you know, something like that.
At least, yeah.
Come flying off the edge, put his foot in the ground and bull rush you.
He'll do the old budget, just put his face right in your noggin.
So, you know, he's good. And then Joey Bosa was throwing a bunch of moves at me. So, like, and that was cool because, like, Shaq did the same thing in camp. Like, he had all these moves I'd never even seen before. And I think Khalil Mack takes the cake, though.
He has to, right? He's a mutant freak.
Yeah, and some are saying that you're trash because he threw you after that one play. What do you have to say to the haters on that one? The one play that was first of all, it was over. And yeah, I don't think people who don't understand football, they haven't played, how sometimes like the whistle stops, but you're in motion, your body is moving one way,
yeah.
And there's no good way to like just completely shut it down. It's not like you can just, oh, I'm done, and everybody stops moving.
Yeah.
And it looked like you were ready to stop and go on to the next play just a tad earlier, and Khalil just decided to be an absolute dick.
I mean, it was like, there was only one comment I saw that I didn't like. He's like, he's probably never been thrown like that in his life. I was like, I wrestled for, you know, 12 years, you know, my whole life. So I was like, I've been thrown like that quite a bit. But I just remember like, so he got past me and I was just kind of like trying to run him by. Like I was kind of like buried in his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like him stick his arm out like at Tom. And I didn't know if Tom like stepped up or nothing. So I was like, I'm just going to keep driving. You know, maybe he got out of it, maybe he didn't. Mm-hmm. And then like, I was kind of like behind him going, like I was leaning forward, and then all of a sudden he steps out of the way and, you know, lad drops me. I was like, fair enough. And I just hopped up and went back to the huddle. But, and then I remember going on Twitter after that game. Oh, that's all I saw.
I was just going to ask, are you a big social media guy? You got like Josie will go in and for self-punishment, search his name after a bad game.
Yeah.
Do you do any of that? Or how do you handle like the haters?
I think I'm kind of like that. If I have a, you know, if I don't do as well as I want, I'll go just to see, like, it's kind of like motivation, you know?
Damn.
And you know, I try not to do it like too often, 'cause you don't want to get sucked in. I remember, KF telling us a story about Marshall Yanda. You know, he said he was looking at that stuff too much and like found it like after they won the Super Bowl. KF told us, he's like, he found himself like looking at that too much, you know? And, so I don't try, like that's always stuck. I did the same thing in college too. Like I would, you know, you search your name in Twitter and see what, you know, people are saying. But I try not to do it like a whole lot, just so I don't get, you know, like I'm jerking myself off, you know?
Yeah, man. I'm the opposite. I just try to hide from that. Same with Drake. Drake pussied out of
no,
Twitter.
No.
Drake got ran off Twitter because his feelings get hurt.
That's
really,
not true.
Really bad. And yeah, that's what people are saying, at least.
I left Twitter because two of my buddies named Tyler and Kevin were,
we got hurt. We were
about what I was posting. Mm-hmm. And they also didn't like that they were getting grouped in, mm-hmm, to my shenanigans. So right. I said, okay, for the betterment of the team, after they got mad at me for how many times, I deleted it.
Yeah,
that's the story.
I remember.
Puss out.
Oh, right. I remember now. That sounds right. So you recently posted an Instagram picture, and I don't know if you're sponsored or what, but there was a lot of Buffalo Wild Wings. And let me just say, Tristan, that I'm not a jealous person. I think when my wife and I were dating in high school, and then we had some spots where, you know, we would break up and, you know, we were on and off, there were probably some times where I got jealous of, like, if she was with some other guys, you know, hanging out, but I'm not a jealous person. I've never been more jealous in my life than when you posted that picture. I looked actually at my wife, Lauren, and said, they sponsored an Instagram post. He gets all the wings he wants and I'm pissed. I'm livid. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool, actually. So, like, the Buffalo Wild Wings in Tampa Bay, they came out with this this new sauce after we won the Super Bowl. Like, it was like the Tampa Bay sauce.
Oh.
It was fire. It was so good. But
God. There were
a couple of us that, like, you know, they had us they, like, sent us a bunch of wings, like appetizers and everything. We, like, you know, we took a picture with it and, like, tagged the Tampa Bay sauce. Like, it was so good.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't tell what it was, like, if it was, like, mixed with something, like, what sauces were it was, but...
You housed it.
Yeah, it was fire, but it was, like, yeah, it was, like, me, my buddy, Alyssa Romano, she works for my agency, Octagon, and my girlfriend, really, like, you know, after we got it all, like, situated, took the pictures and everything, we just went to town.
That's unbelievable. Old Cap Mall, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
They should have sponsored me in college. could have had a polecat sauce or something, because I frequented. I would order on Tuesday nights. I would eat, like, you know, we'd have the complex meal, and I'd like nibble on it sometimes because I knew it was buy one get one, and at the old cap, and I would throw in the order and ride that 50cc moped straight downtown. Pick myself up 20 honey barbecue and just go home.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm weak when it comes to sauces. I don't get extravagant or, you know, crazy, but, I would go home and eat it like I hadn't had a meal in a month. I mean, it was disgusting. He's laughing at me.
Just walk.
Is that your girlfriend?
Yeah. She was outside.
Hello. She's a stallion. She's an absolute thoroughbred.
Please say hello.
Dude.
She says
how
hi.
Does she possibly stay up with you when you're having the old whiskey sour Snapchat night? How does she stay up to you with till 3 a.m. every single time?
She does pretty good. You know, the whiskey sours, those are my thing now. I love making those.
Drake, I'll give you the answer. And here's the answer. Ready? They're still kids, dude.
True.
They're not. You and I, we're basically grandpa now. Like 27's coming this year. And Tristan, I mean, he should still be in, like, it feels like you're just a big 11th grader.
Theoretically, you should still be a redshirt junior, right?
Yeah. So I didn't redshirt, so I would have been a senior this year.
God.
Yes, or a redshirt junior in our case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many a summit night back then.
Right. I just turned 22 and she just turned 21.
God. So there you go. That's how they stay up to Tristan. I go to bed at 8:30, dude. Right, let me tell you, I get 8 hours. I go to bed at 8:30 and I'm basically worthless.
During the season, I usually take my melatonin around 8:30.
Dude, are you a CBD guy?
Yeah, you got to get on the CBD dream, boy.
Is that good? I'm a big melatonin. In freshman year of college, because the dorm beds, I'm not even like a tall, but I'm 6'5". I'm not that tall, like basketball player. There's beds, but I could not sleep in those. That was so uncomfortable. And I'd be so tired, you know, like during the season, you know, you're tired, you got your school, you get home from meetings, and I would just lay in my bed at night, just exhausted. And I couldn't fall asleep. I was like, I got so mad. So I started taking melatonin and that really helped. But,
First of all, you have to get a CBD sponsorship.
Yeah, I was just
you're way too good of an athlete and way too marketable to not have a CBD sponsorship. And then you can hook your boy up with a bottle or two.
Yes.
Because I take a CBD melatonin mix and it is tremendous.
Yeah, that's what the one I'm talking about has melatonin in the mixture as well.
So I actually got these Canna Dips CBD powder.
I got the same thing.
Same thing. So big shout out to Canna Dips for hooking me up with these. I'm excited to try them.
No free shout outs, but shout out to Canna Dip because he just got some freaky dip.
I mean, yeah, that's wild. You mentioned quickly mentioned basketball. You versus Garza. How does that go?
I mean, how tall? He's 7 feet.
Yeah, I think he's 6'11".
6'11". Luca's my dog. That's my boy. But I can't shoot. I can do everything else, basketball. I can do everything else, but I can't shoot, and he can. So that's tough.
Probably like 11-9.
Yeah, he would win. He would win, but I think I could put up. I could get some buckets.
Shouted you out. He shouted you out.
I saw that he did. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
Yeah. Yep. That's my boy.
That's weird. He didn't give me or Drake a shout out, which is really weird.
That is kind of crazy.
So
even though we've shouted him out a lot and had his dad on the podcast like 3 times, we're like really close family friends, honestly. And he didn't shout us out, which is honestly bullshit of him because I shouted him out for being a legend and being the first player that I've ever seen from Iowa with my own eyes get their number retired. But I won't hold it against him. How insane is it that he got his number retired?
It was awesome. Like him. And so that's, we had Megan Gustafson last year, or was that 2 years ago?
She got it retired too?
Yeah.
Damn, shout out Megan. I'm sorry.
She's a savage.
CTE.
That's first of all, that's sexist by you, Drake. That's really bad.
That is honestly bad. I'm canceled.
Yep.
No, him and Megan are awesome. You know, I was in ISAC and Megan was too. Super nice dog on the court. Luca's a dog.
If wrestling had numbers, Spencer Lee, we would have retired his jersey number before he was done.
In the rafters. He'd be in the rafters.
You and him kind of have a thing going on social media, like where you take pictures and you like your boys too.
Yeah, me and Spencer boys. I'm good friends with a lot of the wrestlers just because, you know, I grew up wrestling Aaron Costello.
Uh-huh.
And then like we were in the dorms or like football was in Peterson and wrestling was in Hillcrest.
Yeah, you don't know about that Hillcrest life.
That's true. But yeah, I love all those guys. Me and Spencer, people love it too. Cause like Spencer's real, he's real short. Yeah. What is he, like 5'2", 5'3". We take pictures. It's real funny, but yeah, he's a good dude.
It is funny. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago on the podcast of if like, okay, so you were around me, Tristan and Drake and Kevin. If we were if we were in the down position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer was on top, do you think that I could get out?
No.
Do you think you don't think I could escape Spencer Lee?
I don't think Tristan. How much do you weigh?
I'm 195, dude. He's 125. Come on. You don't. Okay. Okay. That's okay. You know more about wrestling. Okay. Okay. I get it.
Coin flip.
Wow.
Maybe 50-50.
Wow. Do you think Drake?
Do I get out?
You've been like grappling and stuff though. You've been.
Yeah.
I think Drake would have a better shot than Kluge. Kluge, you're strong. You're strong. Drake, how much do you weigh?
205.
Oh, that's close. He's just so like technical and
he's dirty. He's nasty.
I think I would have a tough time.
What?
I could stand up. I could stand up.
Tristan.
Okay. Hear me out. I could get up with him, but I think it would be hard to like get him off me. Like he'd be like a backpack on me, but I think it'd be very hard to get him completely off me. I would stand up with him easily. You know?
So you would essentially be the tree in that position.
Yes.
Excuse me. And he is the squirrel monkey, right?
Yeah.
Now, the fact that you just said that conversation in the last 2 minutes, I'll be real honest. My self-confidence is at an all-time low. And that's okay. That's okay. I was thoroughly convinced that I could get up out of a Spencer Lee hold. And now I absolutely think that I can't because I trust you and I actually respect your opinion that much.
Like, You could stand up with him too. You could stand up,
right?
But I feel like he would be able to break his grip or get out of whatever he has you in. And I think he loves tilts. And I think if he trapped your arm and got you in a tilt, I think he would. You know,
Spencer Lee would make.
You think he could get shoulder? You think if he trapped Kluver's arm with a 2-on-1 and got him tilted,
you think I'd cry?
Turn his hips over and get his shoulders on the mat.
I think so. I think he could.
Oh my God, Kluver. Not only are you not getting up, dude, you're getting tilted and put on your forehead, like the side of your forehead.
Dude.
Mashed over.
I just got pinned on the podcast, man. God.
No respect to you. It's just an excessive amount of respect for Spencer Lee.
God. Dude, yeah, you're right. You're right. Spencer would make me cry. That's okay. And that's all right. That's okay. So check that one off. I had that on the checklist just to figure out that question because I needed the answer. Back to diet. You're a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big guy, right? Which is why I think it's so ridiculous that you think that it would like I not knowing anything about wrestling, you and Spencer Lee go at it. I think you pin him within 90 seconds. That's my opinion. All right. That's just my opinion. Now, to maintain your size, some would call it girth. Ike would call it girth, right? He's a stallion, by the way. You're also a stallion. What does your diet look like? And how has that changed from college? Obviously, training table, I know exactly what we ate during those days. What does that look like in the NFL, at least in Tampa? And how have you taken it upon yourself now with a little bit of, you know, you got a little coin behind you. You can put a little effort into, you know, throw some resources behind making sure that your nutrition lacks in no way, right?
Yeah. So I think our food, like we still get food like at our facility, just like at Iowa. Mm-hmm. It's really good stuff. So that was nice. Just not having to necessarily like that all be on you. I can cook, like I can still cook and everything. I still will. But just it's kind of like one less thing to worry about, like knowing you're going to have, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner pretty much at the facility. That was really nice. And I think it was really similar to Iowa, you know, always a lot of vegetables, a lot of variety of vegetables. But I think like at home wise, like when I'm cooking, I'll get like frozen, like a bag of frozen broccoli, like, you know, throw that in the microwave.
Yep. Had some today.
Yeah. I'll cook a steak, cottage cheese.
Dude, how sad is the meat down there compared to what we used to get in Iowa, dude? Because out in Arizona, it's garbage.
It's not bad. There's actually a meat market. It's right. I can't remember the road. But fire. Heights Meat Market is fire. That's what, like, one of the other old linemen told me about it.
They must import their beef.
I don't really know much about it, but that's where I get, like, I would just go get my steaks there. But it's pretty good. But like Iowa, like, I remember we had corn on the cob one day too. Like not the whole ones, but like the little half chunks. I was like, I can't eat this. I was like, this is, but it's still, you know, that I mean, steak, broccoli, you know, I'll make, you know, chicken every once in a while. I had these chorizo, like tacos, me and my girlfriend made one night, but it's like, I don't eat like crazy, you know, I'm not like on a crazy diet or like have to.
Well, you've always been big, right? Like you were.
Did you join the TB12 method, by the way, since you're ungodly strong to start with, and he's all about pliability and functional strength. Are you on the TB12 method?
No, he gave us some like protein and like electrolytes and stuff.
I was going to ask if you're on any supplements.
No, I don't really. I mean, I always drink like the, you know, like what was the name of the shakes we had at Iowa? Like
Core 42s.
Core 42. That's, yeah, we have those in our weight room and stuff. Like I'll drink those. I don't really take supplements.
Damn.
And I might take like, I'll just have like protein, like, you know, protein. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't really take supplements or nothing.
To go along with that, and I just saw another tweet. It comes up every month or so. Actually, speaking of Tom Brady, I mean, he's probably the king of it, but Tom Brady, LeBron, we've heard that it's come out that Russell Wilson spends $1 million a year on his body.
A lot.
It's a lot, right? What kind of work do you have done? Like you get a massage every week, you go cryo, you got some special stuff that just, you know, wasn't, you know, you're not able to do as a college student, but you can kind of invest. You got a massage gun. What are you working with for body work?
Yeah. So I guess that's something I'm kind of still learning. Like the older guys always like would like help me out, like what I should do. I would get massages. Massage people would come in on Mondays and Fridays.
Sounds nice.
That felt really good. Because I'd never really had one before until
you had never had a massage till Tampa.
Well, no, till I was like training for the combine. That was the first time. But those, you know, those felt good. I got a Theragun or whatever, those massage guns. That's about it, really. I mean, I had this strength staff stretch me out sometimes, made these big like steel rollers that weighed like 100 pounds or like 50 pounds. They put on like your hamstrings and stuff, but that's something I'm still like trying to like get better at.
Ask you this. So those guys spend a ton of money on their chefs. Why are they getting chefs when the food at the complex is really good? Like,
I think because they have a specific diet that they want to follow. And I think they can get the most like organic and fresh produce having like a personal chef. So I think that might be
sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
just know that if they were cooking me chef cooked meals, like I've seen come out of NFL complexes where you can get the salmon and rice and vegetables just like you want it. I just don't understand why you would pay for a chef, but that's just me.
Yeah, we had this app that we could use like the night before. It would like tell us like the food that was there, so you could like type in what you wanted and they'd have it in like the hot box for you. Like that was really cool. I would use that for breakfast.
Can you imagine, Clue, bro? Jealous, bro.
I'm so pissed. Tristan, you want to hear what I eat, dude? Bro. Yeah. Oh my God. So, you know, so I go to the grocery store, I buy my own food, similar to you, right? So yesterday I had some blueberries and some broccoli. I tried, you know, I'm an adult now. Again, 26 years old, working on 27. We're getting creaky.
And look at that hairline, bro. That hairline says past peak.
Not good. Not good, right? Now I'll still run pro agility with the best of them, right?
Right.
Give me Devontae Smith on that. I'll take it. Najee Harris, you know, anybody, right? But so, you know, I'm rocking about 2,800 calories a day for this 195 pound frame. I'm in a bulk sesh right now, so it's actually closer to 3,000. And not everyone's physically gifted, right? And I think what's so crazy about you is I don't even know if you understand how much physical and this is not to take away anything from you, but our lives are just so, I mean, we're not even two different pages in the same book, dude. It's so different. So I get fruit and vegetables every lunch, right? Mm. And then yesterday, I had some leftover pork from last week that I had made in the crock pot. And then I had a bowl of Lucky Charms. So, you know,
big cereal guy,
huge. Fruity Pebbles, dude. How many boxes of Fruity Pebbles do you think you could eat? Because you know those go down fast.
I don't even get the boxes. I get the big bag.
Yes.
So have you guys seen the cereal bars that they're putting out? They have a Reese's Puffs, a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and a Lucky Charms cereal bar.
Like the old school ones that had like the frosting on the bottom.
Yes, sir. Yeah. They are unbelievable. I'm going through a box every 2 to 3 days right now.
I think they used to have Golden Grahams, and those were different.
Tristan, what was so funny, Ike obviously is just a character, right?
Yeah.
What was maybe one of the best parts about Ike Butker is how much he just absolutely loves eating food. And he was always the guy with the new spot, right? Oh, you got to try this from this place. And it made me happy to see how excited he was to eat meals sometimes. I mean, it was on that level. If Tristan Wirfs gets to choose whatever food on earth, like you get one meal, like full five course meal, you get an appetizer, you get an entree, you get some sides, you get some dessert. Where are you going? What are the favorite foods? Like, what are you going to smash if you just get to make your perfect meal?
Oh, my gosh. That's tough.
I mean, just name some things.
Okay, appetizer. I love, like, breaded mushrooms. Like fried mushrooms.
I did not think we were going there, but okay.
Have you ever tried lobster dumplings from P.F. Chang's?
You can't tell me about this stuff, so now I got to go find it.
Dude, go to the nearest P.F. Chang's. I know there's P.F. Chang's in Tampa. And get the lobster dumplings, bro. Holy smokes.
But I think like the whole like first half of like my go-to meal will be – it sucks because I just heard it closed down, Carl and Ernie's in Iowa City.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, it's over
Carl
by the –
Carl and Ernie's closed down?
Yes, dude.
Buy it. Just buy it. You have the money. Just buy it and let somebody else run it.
It sucks. Like, that was my spot. But they had really good breaded mushrooms. You get the BLT with a slice of cheddar cheese and an egg on it. A BLT with a slice of cheese and an egg. Unreal. Unreal.
Okay, so Carl and Ernie's is one course. That's just the first course. What's course two? Yeah.
Course two?
Yeah. You're a big boy.
This is a
mukbang.
Oh my gosh.
What's dessert, bro? Like what are you hitting on dessert if you get a choice?
I don't know if you guys have been there, like the Zio Giannos, like the cookie cake, the Zookie. That's amazing.
Oh, a little Zio Giannos action, baby. You know that, you know we've been there.
This is how you know Tristan is the most down-to-earth millionaire of all time. He said the first two courses of his of his meal of all meals is Carl and Ernie's and Zio Giannos.
Straight out of Iowa City, baby.
And I think I've always said this: death row meal. It'll be this forever. My mom's chicken and corn casserole. It's the best thing on the planet. Like that'll be all time.
Wow. Does it have cornbread in it?
No. Okay. So what it is? It's like you get like egg noodles. You know, you boil the egg noodles. You put it all like say in a big pan. I'm giving away like her secrets. I feel like.
You don't have to give it away.
The people are gonna love this.
They're gonna want to know.
Yeah, they're gonna all cook this, and then you're gonna be like, Tristan's mom's chicken and corn casserole is the absolute tits.
You might have just given her a new job, a new side hustle.
It's the best. So it's like, you know, you boil the noodles, you put it in a pan, can of cream of chicken soup, a can of corn. Sometimes she does just a can of, you know, a can of chicken, like a can of tuna, but a can of chicken.
Sure.
If she's feeling spicy or something, she'll go down to a store and get a rotisserie chicken and like shred that up and put it in there. And then she puts cheese on top and bakes it. And then she'll take it out. I don't know if it's halfway or whatever until the cheese is melted. And she'll put Lay's chips on top and a little more cheese. And then Lay's to finish off and bake it again. Dude, the best of all time. Like it's so good. It's my death row meal all day, every day.
That's course three.
I said dessert.
That's probably good. I didn't want to make it a whole thing, but I was curious. I know that big guys, they, you know, everybody on earth has like that one food that day. And it's fun to hear that. So that's awesome. Yeah. I thought of this question earlier, and I try to be cool and be like a good interviewer, and I'm really not. I'm not great at it. And I should be after 200 episodes, but I'm not. Has there, you know, all this crazy Super Bowl run, you're 22, you're living life, you're in Tampa. You know, you're going to Ybor City on the weekends and just having a blast, right? And do you ever think back to times, or do you have any stories where your life could have gone in a significantly different direction where, like, you might have been, like, in a dangerous position or an injury might have happened or you did something stupid as a kid where you could have, like, completely – I think back, for me, example – I was in the car with my brother one time. It was icy in Marshalltown. I was like 17 years old, driving the big Cadillac that I used to drive. And we hit a patch of black ice. We did I shit you not. It was like in Mario when you get hit with the when you get hit with the ball from behind and you just do a perfect 360. My car did that on the road.
Yeah.
But not only did it do that, it just kept going straight. As once we hit the 360, it was like nothing ever happened. And I looked at my brother like, oh my God, we were supposed to die right there.
Yeah.
Was there any ever, and I can think of a bunch of other stupid shit that I did when I was, you know, like 10 to 16 years old.
Oh yeah.
You got any stories like that where you're like, wow, that was stupid. Shouldn't have done that.
I think a couple of them, well, not a couple, but just two, they're kind of similar. So my buddy, you know, he lived out in the country, you know, off, you know, you gotta get gravel roads to get there. And, there was this hill, kind of on the way to his house, it was a big gravel road hill. So it went up, down, up, and like they're big. I don't know why or why they made it like that, or if they made it or just, I don't know.
I know where this is going.
There's a part, you know, I don't know if you know on gravel in Iowa, like there'll be like deep drop offs, like into just ravines. Mm-hmm. For some reason that's where like the hills were. But it was like not a small distance where like the ravine was, but like it was pretty long. And but then it comes right back up to like even with the road. And so, it was wintertime. And for some reason, you know, I don't know what I was going fast. And I was going fast. I looked in the back seat to, I don't know why, going over these hills and it was snowing. And I remember I look in the back seat and I feel like, you know, it gets real loose over on the sides and I feel it start pulling me. And I look forward and I go down and like, just, okay. So like it's ravine and then it starts coming up back normal. And I hit the, where it comes flat again. Like it was like a 50 foot drop off. And I was like, that was, I should have been dead right there. Like, right. I don't know about 50 feet, but like, it's, you my car would have rolled down the hill, like, in a long ways. But I just went, it's just like, I went in the ditch, just, you know, I hit the spot where I, you know, it comes back up to flat. And I was just like, I kind of sat there. I was like, holy shit, you know. And then the other time was the same thing, you know, going out to his house. It's, I don't know what, who made this road, but there's that, there's a deep thing. And then there's a big S curve going down a hill. And I think I was texting, and I, my back tire hits the loose gravel, and it pulls me in and like down into it. And I'm cranking the wheel, and I shoot back across the other side, and I crank it back. And I did like this big fishtail, like into the ditch, into the other ditch. And I come back straight. And I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I got to pay attention on this road. But like, those were two times where I was like, I should.
Yeah. Yeah. I, dude, I mean, I think everyone's been there, like in a scary moment in the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just like, after that, you're just like, oh, okay. Oh, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah.
I'm that like, stupid.
Yeah. You're like, you got two hands on the wheel, but I had to call the first one. I had to call my buddy and have him come, like have his dad come pull me out. I was like, oh my gosh. But that one was really scary. Cause you could look, like if you looked out like the back window of my car, like when I was stuck in the ditch, you could see like how close that.
Oh my God.
Like it was.
Well, I'm happy that I could pull that out of you and we could incriminate you a little bit. So that's good. Back to football again. We don't want to take up too much of your time. What does off season training look like now for you?
I was just about to ask you if you were ever going to go out and train in George's new barn.
That's what I'm getting at. Is
state of the art,
right? Like people have their own routines and stuff.
I just saw that. Like, did he build that or?
Yep.
No. So he bought a new property. Him and his wife bought 75 acres in Nashville, just outside of Nashville. I guess I shouldn't be giving this away, but I think,
well, dude, you just murdered George.
I think it's well known at this point. I won't ever. Obviously I don't give out address.
Here's the address.
He's in Tennessee on a big acreage, and it had a house built, I believe, and it already had the barn. And from what I understand, Claire loved the house and George was like, dude, we can have it. Just let me make the barn my training facility. Yeah. And she was like, sold. And now they create the barn is like damn near fully furnished with multiple stories.
From the picture, that's what,
just an absolute state of the art with those treadmills. They got woodways, they got sprint treadmills. Well, they got everything.
Yeah, that looks, I've seen, like, I think I saw videos of it today, maybe yesterday, but I was like, I didn't know where he was at or if that was like his, I guess it's his own, you know, now
that's,
I know
his,
it's
his own, dude. Did.
But I don't know. I don't know who I would talk to go there, but I'm going back, you know, I'm flying back to Iowa tomorrow and then I'll start training up in Iowa City on Monday.
So you're just going to do it in the old facility, huh?
Yep.
Oh man. God. I wish I was cool and still in the league, because then I'd come and I'd train with you, man. I would.
Yeah. I'm excited, though.
Gosh. I love you, I think I think that's where we're at here. Drake, what do you think about Drake's look right now?
He's rocking the mullet.
I mean.
Got like the feather kind of.
It's White Goodman.
The White Goodman look going up front, too. So it's
Yeah, dude, you know. I just wanted to reinvent the mullet. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to have a normal ass mullet.
Right.
And I have an inspiration from Theo Vaughn that is very, very strong. My adoration for him. And I had hair longer than I've ever had it. And I'm like, screw it, dude. It's mullet season. And just like you got the big old bouncy curls.
It's getting crazy. It's getting
insane, dude.
Jesus.
I got a long one in here. It's getting.
Oh my God.
That is It's way long.
The NFL offensive line fraternity is like a real thing. And have you made cool NFL offensive line friends yet? Or are you still a little delayed in that process? Because I've seen the Instagram offensive lines fraternity is strong.
I think a lot of like other rookie O-linemen. And then obviously like my teammates. But I don't know if I'm there yet. With like all the vets, you know, the other veteran O-linemen across the league, but definitely a lot of the other rookie O-linemen.
I
I'm really glad that you you came on again.
100%.
I just am. I'm very thankful. I sit here and think, like, how long will the guys that were actually good at football still pity us and come on the show? And I mean, you're just proving what Coach Polisek told us last week. Like, you're just a great guy. I'm extremely happy for you. I don't know how you get better from here, and I'm glad that I don't have to figure that out. But I also am glad that I'm not the defensive lineman that are trying to get past you. So, thank you so much for coming on again. And we're gonna have you back as long as this podcast is happening. We'll have you back every offseason for sure.
I love the deal.
Love it. He's the champ. He's the world champ, baby. Him and Nelly, the champ. Put the belt on. Rodgers can take a back seat and Wirfs can put the belt on. That's episode 198 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. My goodness, what a show. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back again next week. And we'll talk to you then. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.